What's going on, everybody? Dave Lacker back again, filling in this time for Greg Ehrenberg, along with Adam Scher at Ship My Money DFS. I'm at Lafayette underscore D. And today's injury report show is presented, as always, by Yahoo Daily Fantasy Sports, where if you use that link in the description down below, you'll get a free month of Awesome Oat Plus Platinum. It is an incredible deal. You'd be insane not to take advantage of it. And of course, $10 as well injected into your account in free play. Just use the link, get your free month of Awesome Oat, and check out the $500,000 NFL baller this Sunday for the divisional round matchups. Let's dive into this, Adam. We got a lot, 11 games. Before we do, though, hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and if you have any questions, comments, leave it down below. We try and check and respond to all of them. But for 11 games, there aren't a ton of injuries across every team like weeks ago with COVID, but there's some really significant questionable guys tonight for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot opening up as the day goes on as well. There's already more than we had on the strategy show this morning. It seems like there might be even more to talk about by the deeper dive tonight.
All right, so let's do that. Let's hit on the big stuff. We have the deeper dive tonight, 4:45 Eastern, Josh Engelman and myself. And then you've got the live before lock. We're gonna carry you through everything here, especially as more things develop. But the big one, and one of the big ones, is the Lakers, where LeBron, who was sidelined yesterday, tweeted that cryptic thing about being pissed off, is questionable on the second of a road back-to-back. Anthony Davis played north of 33 minutes in a game that developed into a blowout, was phenomenal, and he's questionable. Russell Westbrook's questionable. Avery Bradley's questionable. And Malik Monk is out. So we got to pay attention to a lot here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most succinct way to break it down is that if all of James, Westbrook, and Davis are in, then it's still a good matchup. You can certainly still get to those guys, but none of them are really going to stand out. None of the peripheral guys are going to stand out either. If LeBron is out and Davis and Westbrook are both in, Davis and Westbrook both look better than they normally would. Like you said, we got a lot of playing time from Davis yesterday. So if he's in, I assume he's playing 34 minutes or so again. Westbrook was horrible yesterday, but he does see a bump in his range without LeBron as well. No Monk means that you probably get Horton Tucker in the starting lineup, I would think. He's really cheap, so he would look good. If you take Davis and LeBron out, Westbrook, basically, I don't know how you get away from it. I know how bad he's been this year, but at his current price tags, I don't really know how you get away in this matchup. And then guys like Melo, Horton Tucker, Stanley Johnson, they start to look better. Dwight Howard would start to look decent too if you're taking LeBron and Davis out. I think he would play a decent amount. And then if all three of those guys are out, just play what you can from the Lakers. Go to Melo, go to Horton Tucker. Horton Tucker probably becomes the best play on the slate at 3,600 if everybody's out. But Stanley Johnson looks better. Whoever's in looks good at that point.
Yeah, if they mail this game in, I mean, it's the second fastest paced team in the league with Charlotte, one of the worst defenses in the league. You were mentioning it's a good matchup. And Malik Monk being out too is significant, because if all those guys sit and Monk is out, you have to distribute that usage elsewhere. So it could end up being the best value spot on the slate. Speaking of another spot that could open up a lot of value, the Minnesota Timberwolves, mostly a clean slate outside of D'Angelo Russell, who got banged up last game, and Patrick Beverley, who's missed a handful of games in a row, both of them questionable. If they sit, Jalen Noel, who's been a relatively popular value play just based on short slates, would look even better, right? I mean, you'd think we'd have to give him 30-plus minutes, or at least close to it.
Yeah, it would at least be possible, if not likely, that he gets up there. He played 29 minutes last night. Easy for me to say. But a lot of that came in the second half after D'Angelo Russell left the game. Basically, what we've seen so far is when Beverly is out, it's led to increased playing time for Torian Prince. Obviously, different positions, but you get Russell running point, essentially. If you take them both out, Jalen Noel should play more. He's a good point per minute guy. He's still cheap. The only real alternative, I think, would be Malik Beasley playing more, but he's been absolute garbage this year, both from a fantasy standpoint and a real life standpoint. So I'm not really confident in him being the one to soak up playing time, especially if you assume that Noel plays reasonably well. At the very least, I think that, you know, Noel gets into the mid-20s. You also could potentially get like the Jordan McLaughlin spot start. That's something we've seen before too. That would be a situation where you probably assume Noel is like still in the mid-20s, but it would be hard to give him 30 minutes. So the starting lineup would still matter, but Noel certainly looks better if both of those guys are out.
How much of a bump would we give to Towns and Edwards?
So I think they have to get at least somewhat of a bump, because not only are you opening up usage, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's like a 25 to 26% usage guy, but he's also got a mid-30s assist percentage this year. Patrick Beverley gets a lot of assists. Whoever starts at point, whether it's McLaughlin or Noel or Beasley, they're going to, you know, do some facilitating, but we know Towns is a capable passer. We know Edwards can do a bit. So I think that they do both look better if Russell is out.
And then the other side of this same game, you're still without DeAndre Ayton, kind of an extended absence here. You have no JaVale McGee. You have no Jay Crowder. So it's once again going to open things up for Biombo, who's played well. And then Cam Johnson is pulling right now, according to our ownership, a lot of ownership, even for an 11-game slate.
Yeah, and I think he should be. I mean, at least the way things look right now, even at $4,700, which is a slight bump from where he was last game, it's just difficult for him to disappoint there. He's around a 0.8 to 0.85 fantasy point per minute guy. He's likely to play 34 to 36 minutes, and he certainly has the upside to do better. He is, at this price, someone that would be pretty heavily affected by, for example, Lakers injury news. Like, if you get Talen Horton-Tucker available for $1,100 less than Cameron Johnson with multiple guys out on the Lakers, then that's going to look like an even better play than Johnson. And you could start getting to the point where Johnson still looks good, but he's not the first guy in from a value standpoint. But right now he looks like one of the best value plays on the slate.
Does Biombo still make a lot of sense? And are you willing, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, this is what our other shows are for, but are you willing to take some shots on Jalen Smith if he plays maybe around 20 minutes, 19 minutes last game, or is it just too deep of a slate right now?
I think it's probably going to be too deep of a slate for Jalen Smith. He's still somebody that you can make a strong case for in 150 max massive field tournaments, sure, just because we did see him get the backup center minutes last game as we expected. And if Biombo gets in foul trouble or something, like if Jalen Smith gets to 24 or 26 minutes, which would require foul trouble or a blowout or something weird happening, he's going to be a great play at 3,400. It's just a matter of you can't count on him to get there, and there's likely to be a lot of other value spots to get to. Biombo himself at 5,800, I think, is fine. Played around 30 minutes last game. He's averaged well over a fantasy point per minute this season. Even if you assume that he regresses back towards his career averages as time goes on, he's still going to look like a decent option here. The problem is that this is a loaded center slate. You have a couple of center options that are only a few hundred dollars more than Biombo. You have a couple that are even less than Biombo. You have top end guys. So he's a fine play, but I still wouldn't call him a priority here.
Sure. And another good matchup against a fast paced Minnesota team. So
yep.
How about the Pelicans right now? We don't have any certainty here. There's still a lot of questions regarding Valanciunas, Ingram, Josh Hart, all of whom are questionable. That's a ton of minutes yanked from the rotation if they sit, or even one or two of them sits again.
Yeah, it's a Lakers-esque team where if everybody's in, nothing looks that good. Joe Val would look fine at 7,900, but if you take Ingram out and Joe Val's in, Joe Val looks better. If you take Ingram and Joe Val out, we saw Hernan Gomez get the start last game. He's only 5,100 today. Very similar situation the last game where he's probably going to get torched by Nikola Jokic, but he can score, and that's really all you care about for DFS as long as he avoids foul trouble. And to his credit, he doesn't play enough defense to foul people typically. So that's not a bad spot to be in from a DFS standpoint. If you get, you know, Hart and Ingram and Valanciunas out, then you're probably looking at more minutes for Nikhil Alexander-Walker one way or another. Herbert Jones looks a little bit better. So it's still, assuming any of the questionable guys play, I wouldn't say that there's like massive priorities here, but it's just another situation where as more people get ruled out, it starts to benefit everybody else basically.
We don't need to spend too much time on this next one, but because it's a good spot against a pretty bad Oklahoma City team, is Domantas Sabonis a situation maybe not to play him because there's just an insane amount of top tier options. But is this a spot to monitor today with him being questionable and Malcolm Brogdon being out for a little bit longer?
Yeah, I think so, because if Sabonis is in, I don't really have interest in this team. But if he's out, it has a couple of pretty big effects, one being that Caris LeVert looks better. He's really struggled the last couple of games, but it's, again, a pretty good matchup against OKC. His rates are very good without Brogdon and Sabonis on the floor. It's just a matter of he's not particularly efficient. So having high rates doesn't always translate to good fantasy production, but the opportunities would be there. And then also Goga Batadze, whose playing time has been down the last couple of games. Two games ago, he basically had like a little bit of foul trouble, and then Indiana went small with O'Shea Brissett. Last game was mostly foul trouble. He was in foul trouble in the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter. based on his first quarter rotation or his first half rotation, he was tracking to play 30 or 16 or 17 minutes. So I think that if he can avoid foul trouble, there's at least a chance for him to get back north of 30 minutes. The one risk is that OKC is a team where Indiana could choose to go small, give Brissett more minutes if they want to. So if Sabonis is out, Tadze is risky for sure, but he does have a ceiling.
They gave up 156 points last game.
Yeah, they got absolutely destroyed.
That's amazing. Kyle Lowry's out. Jimmy Butler's questionable. What are we doing with Miami?
Get to some Bam. Get to some Hero. If Butler's in, he looks pretty good. If he's out, then it's a bump for Hero as far as usage goes. It's a bump in playing time for guys like Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. Any of those guys start to look a little bit better as well.
Okay, and with Utah, with Mitchell and Gobert still out, is there any meat left on the bone, or have we kind of maxed value out over the last week?
I think with the exception of Whiteside, everything's pretty much maxed out. Like with Mitchell out, you'd still get a ceiling from guys like Bojan Bogdanovic, who has close to a 29% usage rate, Jordan Clarkson, who has about a 30% usage rate and can play a couple more minutes now. But the salaries have adjusted to account for that. Whiteside is 6,900, played 34 minutes last game. That's two games in a row. We've gotten 32 and 34 minutes from Whiteside. He's averaged 1.2 DraftKings points per minute this year. So like I was saying before, there's a lot of very good mid-range centers. I'm not saying Whiteside is a lock or anything like that, but he's certainly in the mix of just very high upside, relatively inexpensive centers.
All right, we have one more game to talk about, and the only reason we're talking about it as a whole is because both sides have a lot of question marks. Portland and Houston, 234.5 point total, Adam. So this one could get interesting. Covington's questionable, and then some secondary options like Ellaby, Dennis Smith Jr. questionable, but Nas Little's likely out for the season. You still have no Larry Nance. Does that open anything up for Portland today if Covington is also out, given that Little's done for the year pretty much?
I don't really think so, because at least not in the sense that it makes anybody that you wouldn't normally play look a lot better, because I think a lot of minutes would go to Tony Snell, which doesn't matter for DFS. So with Portland, it's kind of, if Covington's in at 5,500, he looks fine. If he's out, though, I don't think it's a huge benefit for anyone else. You would still just be looking at Nurkic, McCollum, Simons, and Powell as pretty good options, but that's the case with or without Covington.
Okay. And what about on the other side? Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood are legitimately questionable here. That's got to open some things up, right? If they sit, or one of them sits?
Yeah, you would think so. I talked on the strategy show with Josh this morning about Steven Silas not wanting to play Christian Wood and Şengün alongside each other anymore, and how that's sort of a negative for both guys. But if Wood is out, that opens up more minutes for Şengün. I think there's a decent chance. What'd you say?
That's our guy.
Yeah. I think there's a decent chance that Daniel Theis moves into the starting lineup. We've seen that be the case plenty of times this year. But either way, like if Theis starts, I don't think you're getting 32 minutes for Theis and 16 for Şengün like you would if Christian Wood's playing. I think it's more likely that Theis plays, you know, opens the first quarter, closes the first half, opens the third quarter, and then never comes back, and you get something like a 24-24 split or something along those lines, which would make a $3,500 Şengün look absolutely phenomenal. If Kevin Porter is out, there's more ball handling responsibilities for guys like Eric Gordon. We know Jayshon Tate can take on a bigger playmaking role, more usage potentially available for Jalen Green. So I don't think Porter has as direct a like one-to-one beneficiary as Christian Wood does, but it just makes the team as a whole more appealing.
We know that Steven Silas has, you know, not wanted to give Şengün a ton of minutes this year. What do you think his max is in terms of potential playing time if Christian Wood's out?
26, 28.
Okay. Which at almost minute, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, which I don't think that's the most likely. Like, I think that involves the game blowing out, or Şengün playing really well, and he does get like the entire fourth quarter after, or basically like if he comes in, if he subs in like, you know, partway through the third, plays really well and just gets the final 16 minutes or something, I think he could get there that way. But assuming he doesn't start, I would expect him to get like 24 minutes somewhere in there. But if he does start, like, I think physically he can play close to 30.
And 24 minutes would be enough for you at 3,500?
20 minutes would be enough for me.
Yeah, seriously. All right, that'll do it for us. Follow Adam at ShitMyMoneyDFS. I'm at Lafay_D on Twitter. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe before you go. And remember, link in the description gets you a free month of Awesomo Plus Platinum when you sign up at Yahoo Fantasy. $10 in credit there and some great contests with the best payout structures you're going to find. So check it out. And be sure to join our premium Discord when you do. We will catch you back here. We don't do this on the weekend, do we, Adam?
No.
All right. We'll catch you back here Monday with another injury report presented by Yahoo. Peace. Sweet.